Hello, and welcome to this first talk. Today I'm going to get into cross-platform development using Flutter. What is Flutter? Flutter is a cross-platform development kit. Yeah, a fancy logo you can see over there. Okay, we will talk about how to install Flutter. We will talk about the special features of Flutter, hence widgets, and we'll have a look on their plugins. We will have a look on two different kinds of these widgets, stateful and stateless widgets. And at the end, we will talk about the main feature of Flutter as part of the code. So you do not have separate style files or separate layout files. Okay, how would you install Flutter? Well, if you are used to Git, it's actually quite easy. You simply clone their Git repository, update the path, and you have the Flutter tool installed. That installs two things, the library Flutter and the programming language Dart. Dart is the programming language you use with Flutter. Of course, you could use Dart without Flutter, but Dart is usually used with Flutter, and Flutter only works with Dart. If you are not interested in cloning Git repositories, if you are not that used to command prompts, you could easily install Flutter using the plugin of your development environment, for example, Visual Studio Code or Android Studio, so IntelliJ. They offer very user-friendly plugins with a quick installation guide for Flutter, automating all these steps. Okay, what is Flutter like? If we have a look on Flutter, we talk about different things. We have the framework written in Dart, we have the engine, and we have platform-specific code. Flutter consists of something called the Flutter tool. That's not listed in the graphic you can see there. That's what you use to create an application. For example, if you type Flutter create my new application in the command prompt, that's the Flutter tool you use. But as soon as you run an application, you have this, it works the way the graphic presents it. You have this framework consisting of everything you can see and everything you can do. So you have buttons, for example, material buttons. These are the two main theme styles. So Material is the Android or Chrome OS style, and Cupertino is the iOS style user interface. The framework takes also care of the rendering, animations, interactions with users. So gestures, if you tap a button or if you move around something on the UI, that's something the framework takes care of. And under the framework, there's the engine. The engine operates everything which is not specific to your application. So the general stuff of Flutter. It takes care of the interaction with the Dart virtual machine. It takes care of platform channels. For example, if you want to access native code, it takes care of accessibility, it interacts with the operating system, and so on. And beside of those two, there's still the embedder. The embedder is what is typic for one kind of device, for example, for one platform, for example, for Android. The embedder takes care of threads, of process management, takes care of the event loop of the operating system, and it takes care of interaction of with native plugins, and most important, it's responsible for packing the application. For example, if you have raw Dart code, no device would be able to execute it. So the embedder is responsible for packing this code into an executable on Windows, into a JavaScript file on the web, or into an APK file on Android. Okay. Well, now I already introduced these widgets. I talked about Material and Cupertino widgets. But what is a widget? A widget is pretty much everything you can see in a Flutter app. A widget is any user interface element, sometimes allowing interaction, sometimes not. But everything you can see in an application is called a widget. You can imagine a widget like, for example, HTML elements. You simply put them into each other and create a document tree. But unlike if you use HTML, you do not have HTML for the layout, CSS for the style, and JavaScript for the interaction. If you have Flutter, these widgets provide all these three parts. So the widget performs the layout, the widget offers style, and offers interaction with the user. Hence, you do not have any separation between style and content of the application. That's a very good feature for development and makes many things such as refactoring code. But there are different types of less widgets without any kind of feedback they can provide. They are once rendered and afterwards they are present, or if the parenting widget decides, well, I no longer want to show this, for example, text, that is just being removed without any interaction of this widget. Another point are stateful widgets. They allow interaction. So, for example, if you have a text as a stateful widget, it is able to tell the application after a couple of seconds, okay, now I want to change my own color, or I want to change my font size. So it can, it has an own event loop and can decide based on things happening inside this widget. That's usually a bit, not these low level widgets like tags, but more these high level widgets like list views consisting of several children and so on. Menus, they consist of a menu button, a drop-down menu, and whatever, or even the whole page of an application. All these are widgets, stateful widgets. Okay, time to provide some code samples. That was a bit of introduction into the architecture, and let's have a look on code. Well, congratulations, that's a simple Flutter program. If you write it and you provide a declaration of homepage, you should be able to run an application on your mobile phone. What does it? It executes a main function calling a method calling a function called runApp, which runs a Material app. So following the Material design, from Android or Chrome OS. Okay, but of course we need to implement a home page. Well, let's have a look at a bit more difficult widget. thing, or tell the widget everything it needs to know for building. In our case, we simply return a list tile containing consisting of an icon and an outline button. The outline button can do anything. It can share a text. So you would see a share prompt on your mobile phone, or on the web, it would download the text. Okay, but why is it stateless and not stateful? Simply because it cannot interact with itself. The widget is unable to change one of its variables. The widget cannot set a timer. It simply could not. If you would tell the widget, well, wait 5 seconds and do whatever, it would not change the appearance of the widget, because it is once built and afterwards it has no longer has the ability to change its appearance or behavior. Only the parenting widget, so for example, the list we put this score detail inside, it could trigger a rebuild of this widget, but not the widget itself. To clarify this point, we will have a look at a stateful widget. It's a bit shortened because a stateful widget consists of two classes. A state class, that's what you can see over there. And, well, the actual declaration that it is a widget. But the state is much more interesting if we look at it. Okay, you first see there are... We first initialize some variables. Afterwards, we have a method called initState. That's something which is being triggered the first time the widget is built. Afterwards, we declare another method, and at the end, we have our build method. What's the difference from this build method to the build method we had in our stateless widget? I hope you can see my pointer. Yeah. We have an if statement here. A shortened if statement. So the build method checks whether a variable called testLoaded, that's being declared at the top here, whether it is false or true. And it correspondingly reacts. So if it's true, a list view is being displayed, and otherwise a progress indicator is being shown. Okay, that's something we could still implement in a stateless widget. But there's another big difference here. We have something which changes something as soon as something happens. Well, many somethings. It's an expansion tile, so a list tile which can be expanded. It's a built-in widget of Flutter. And as soon as it is being opened, a local method is triggered. Here we have this loadScore method, and that is being triggered. We do not know what it does, but I can tell you, well, it will load some data from wheresoever, and it will change this variable. So afterwards, after this method is being triggered, the test data here will be something different. It will no longer show the progress, but it will show this inside a single widget without any communication, without any external stuff, without any JavaScript get element by ID or something like that. The widget simply decides on its own behavior. That's very comfortable, believe me. Okay, now I already talked a bit on JavaScript. It's somehow different. Flutter is often being compared to JavaScript using React Native and Electron. So what's the difference? Let's first look on JavaScript. If you write an application in JavaScript, you actually have JavaScript, and JavaScript is a web language. Hence, you need a web view or something similar to render anything of your app. That means it consumes an immense amount of memory and CPU power because, well, if you ever used Chromium or Firefox on a low-end device, you know that JavaScript can be, well, quite painful. And, well, there are high-end mobile devices, but if you develop an app, you should always keep in mind that there are mobile devices with much less power and less than 2 gigabytes of RAM. Okay, and if you have Flutter in opposite, you create a native app. You have native code which is being executed beside the Dart virtual machine with almost the same look and feel you know from your platform. If you have JavaScript in opposite, you usually have a fancy design you made, which is actually good for web development, but it's usually not exactly the design packed from a mobile device. There are very strict guidelines. If you ask Apple or if you ever published an app to the App Store, you know there are very strict guidelines at Apple, and at Google, these there are guidelines as well, but they're not that strict. But if you use Flutter, you automatically obey these guidelines and produce apps with a native look and feel. And another advantage of Flutter, it's more an advantage in comparison to native apps. You have the same layout and the same code on the same on all your platforms. Because if you write native applications, well, you have 2 code bases and the applications behave differently on all platforms. And if you have Flutter, you have 1 code base for all your platforms, and obviously it behaves the same way on all platforms. That's much easier for your users if she should ever change their device. And the major point, I already mentioned it at the first point, there's almost no loss of performance. So Flutter is actually a very good framework for creating apps for Android, iOS, desktops such as Windows, Mac OS, or Linux. FreeBSD is unfortunately not supported, or even web pages. Okay. At that point, I want to thank you for the attention of this talk. Feel free to attend my next talk on Flutter. Tomorrow I will give an advanced view on cross-platform development using Flutter. We will focus on animations and the way Flutter works under the hood. Now there should be an online Q&A. Thank you for your attention.
Hello, this was the lecture by the one with the braid about Flutter, and we are now switching to a small Q&A session here. There has been exactly one question in the IRC. You can ask questions via the hashtag RC3WikiPaka and in the RC3WikiPaka IRC channel on Hackend. There's been one question, which is, what is the main feature of Flutter with which lets me decide for it instead of, for example, React Native? Could you answer that question? The one with the braid, we've got problems with your sound. We can't receive you via Ninja, only via our back channel. Mm-hmm. And now they're gone.
Can you hear me?
Here we are again. Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, perfect. Well, the question was, what should convince someone to use Flutter? I would say the main advantage, the principal advantage of Flutter is the performance and the native-like applications you get. If you use Flutter, you get native design of the operating system you run on, and you have no lack of performance. That's the main difference to JavaScript, for example, so React Native.
Would you consider yourself to be a Flutter fan or aficionado?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Flutter.
Okay, we can tell that. You do have other talks about Flutter the coming days, don't you?
Yes, tomorrow at, I think, 12 o'clock, there's a second talk on Flutter, advanced cross-platform development using Flutter. We will focus on animations and on the way the engine, so the underlying engine of Flutter works.
Alrighty. There's been another question in the meantime here, again by HansWurst10. React Native also gives you native components and design, etc. Isn't that true?
Yeah, it's true, but I would call the Flutter components more native. They are built 100% according to the style guidelines of the operating systems. If you use material buttons, they are 100% material, so as you know them from your Android phone, for example. And I noticed in React Native, you sometimes have issues some components do not properly look exactly the way they should look, and they often do not look the way the users expect them to look.
Alrighty, thanks for the answers to the questions. There have been some more detailed questions as a follow-up on the IRC, but I've posted in the IRC a link where you can all join into for a little Big Blue Button session where you can go into more detailed exchange. The one with the braid, thank you so much for your input. This has been the first broadcast of the day and of RC3. And we'll continue follow up with a little break and continue our program at 1600 Central European Time. Thank you.
Okay. See you.
Bye-bye.